continue to unveil your word to us, Lord. Continue to lead us and strengthen us. I pray your blessing upon Dave. You already anointed him to preach, Lord. But we just want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd be upon the words that he speaks. We may hear your voice clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I met Simon a year and a bit ago, and I instantly loved him. He's a wonderful man. We are from the great state of Indiana, a city called Fort Wayne. Sometimes I like to call Fort Wayne the city that never sleeps, but it's really not true. That's a different city in Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne's a wonderful place, but let me tell you, your country is stunning. Absolutely stunning. In Fort Wayne, in Indiana, this is what the terrain looks like. It's very flat, and there's lots of corn. And we come here, and there's these hills and mountains, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. But we do have Amish in Fort Wayne. And as Gary well knows, because when our friends from the UK come to visit, they ask me to take them to see the Amish. And I actually got mistaken for an Amish person the other day. I don't, if you've seen pictures of Amish, I didn't think I really looked like an Amish person. But we were going door to door in Abergwynfi in the valleys, the Avon Valley, and I knocked on a door, and we were asking to pray for people. And she said, "You look like a Mormon." This wonderful lady. She said, no, not a Mormon, an Amish. Like, well, not quite, but we love the Amish. We love Fort Wayne. We love our city, but we absolutely love your country. And the Lord even deepened my love for your country when I was at Cardiff City Center, because my dream car in all my life, I've always wanted it since I was in high school, is a VW bus. Okay, we call it a hippie bus. In where I come from, and I've always wanted one, and I've actually been praying for one. Can you pray for your dream car? Hey, why not? So I have like pictures of VW buses and all this stuff, and I always check the papers for a VW bus. And I walked into a souvenir store, and it's like somebody knew I was coming to Cardiff, and they made something specifically for me. I walked in the first store, and I saw a sculpture of a VW bus with a Welsh flag over it. And I bought two. So one for me and one for my son. So we really love your country. And it's such an honor and a pleasure to be here. I'm a part of a church called Heartland. And for years and years, we've had partnerships with pastors and churches all across Wales. And it is a joy to continue the partnership and ministry. You know, in America, we have football, but it's different than your football. And when you get to the line to hike the ball, you have a play in mind. You have, that guy's going to go that way, and I'm going to throw the ball to him or whatever. Well, if you get to the line, they're laughing at my sports analogies because it's not my strong suit. So if you have a play in mind and you get ready to hike the ball, but you look out and something's changed, something's a little different, you call an audible, which is, oh, change of play, last minute change of play. And I was during worship here, I had a word to bring you, and the Lord started speaking something else to me. So I'm calling an audible on myself. All right. So I want to share a little bit of my testimony with you and see where this goes today. So I was in high school, did they call it secondary school? Is that what you call it? Okay. And I fell in love with music with all my heart. And I would skip lunch and I would play piano for 3-4 hours a day. I would play piano when I got home. I was studying opera. I started in composition, and I just fell in love with music. And near the end of high school, I had my plan. I had the plan for my life, and I was going to go into composition. I wanted to compose all sorts of music, classical music, modern music, choirs, quartets, everything. I had my plan, and I was going to keep studying voice and keep studying piano. And I had some scholarships to a school, and it was my senior year. And I decided that before I was going to go to college, I was going to spend that summer in between. You could call it university, right? College, university. Okay. So between high school and college, I had a summer off, and I was going to spend that summer in Tijuana, Mexico, with a mission group called Youth of the Mission, YWAM. I was going to help out, be on their staff, help out some of the youth groups coming in, and it was just going to be a lead-in to my college. So I went to Tijuana, Mexico, with a group I knew just a little about, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm dedicating my summer to you, and we are supposed to help people build houses. Well, I don't use tools. My wife doesn't let me use tools because me and tools don't mix. I'm a musician. Anyway, and my hands are important. So we were helping to build houses and lead youth groups, and we had a week off just a little bit into the summer, and some of us would get in a van, and we'd go up to the beach in California, and we'd spend the day at the beach so we could relax and recoup and get ready for the next team coming in Tijuana. And we were at this beach in Southern California, and I was in the ocean, and all of a sudden I looked around, and I was all by myself in the ocean on this beach in California, which really is not normal because the beaches are quite crowded. And so I was just enjoying myself all alone. I don't know where the rest of our group was in the water. And then out of nowhere, I wasn't praying. I wasn't worshiping, just relaxing. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, for the first time that I can remember, I heard the voice of the Lord. And it wasn't audible, but it was the loudest voice I've ever heard. And he said one sentence to me. He said, "Don't go to college." And I went like this. And I said, "What was that?" I had no grid for what I had just experienced. I sat there for a few minutes trying to process this. I came out of the water and I said, my life just changed, because I knew, even though I hadn't experienced it yet, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord just spoke. What does it say in John 10? Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. And I call out my sheep. I call them by name and I lead them out." And I was like, that's what just happened to me. The Lord just spoke and called me out and he redirected all my plans. And so I had to start telling people that, hey, I'm in another country and I just gave up all my plans and I'm not going to college. And it was kind of an awkward little time. And it was hard to communicate because I wasn't used to communicating what had just that experience because it was brand new. But one thing that was true is that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. I couldn't explain it. It was something that changed, something clicked, and I started to relook at my life through a different lens, like I put on a pair of glasses or something, looking at the world different. And I knew at that moment that my life was going to change forever. I knew that I was going to about ready to go on a crazy adventure with God. And that was in the year 2000. And I can tell you that my life has been an incredible adventure with God ever since. That moment began a journey, because since I didn't have a grid or I didn't have a lot of experience with what happened, I began to think, God, you speak. Like, I know you speak through your word and it's amazing and I love your word, but you also call me by name. And you call me out, and I can ask you questions, and you will answer. And you have this direction for my life. You know, I read in Jeremiah that, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Well, he has a specific plan for me, and he's called me and leading me out. And it's like a whole new world opened up. And I remember maybe a month later, I was reading a book, and it was called Is That Really You, God? And it was actually about Lauren Cunningham, who started the organization called YWAM, and he was going through a little bit of a similar thing. He was hearing God speak in incredible ways. Excuse me. And I remember finishing that book, and there was something in the book about this thing called waiting on God. Now, I didn't have a grid for that either. Something about waiting on God. What does that mean? And I don't remember exactly what prompted me to do it, but I knew that at the end of that book, I was going to wait on God. even though I didn't know what that meant. So again, so awkwardly, I was living in a room with six other guys for the summer, and somehow they were all gone. To this day, I still don't know where they are. Okay. Or where they went is probably a better way to phrase that. So I just snorted. Sorry. So I said, all right, I am going to wait on you. And here's what I said to the Lord. I said, I'm going to get on my knees, on my face, and I'm just not going to move until you do something. It's kind of naive, isn't it? It's kind of childlike. Kind of like, I don't know any better, so I'm just going to do what I know. So I'm going to wait on you. So I was on my knees. I put my face to the ground. I didn't even know what to pray because I know I was supposed to wait on God because something was supposed, it was supposed to be a good thing. So I sat there. I laid there, and I started to get really tired. But I didn't go to bed. I said, okay, I'm just going to wait here. It was a long time. It wasn't like 5 minutes. It wasn't 10 minutes. It was hours. And I sat there, and I laid there, and I didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, another experience happened that I had no grid for whatsoever. Out of nowhere, my body just started shaking. Just started shaking. I didn't know what to do. I was really confused. I wasn't doing anything. I was like, what is going on? And you know what I did? I stood up, and I went to bed. That's what I did. Now, it sounds odd, but I tell you that I know that was the Lord because that would be the last thing I would ever actually want to do during an experience like that. And I went to bed knowing that something happened. I didn't have language for it. I didn't have experience for it. But from that point on, I can tell you something, that my life was different. I did the same things I was doing. I was learning to lead worship. I was interacting with students. I was learning how to be a leader. I was still doing these same things, but something was different. I did the same things, but the impact, the anointing was way greater. That was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was a feeling of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. It was a Holy Spirit moment of filling, and it changed my life. That summer, I got introduced to the voice of the Lord and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's been an adventure ever since. Sometimes when we have experiences like that and we begin to grow and we begin to get a little older, sometimes we forget the childlike hunger for getting to know your dad, your father in heaven. I have three kids, 6, 4, and 2, and boom, boom, boom. And they're just an absolute delight. And I love them because they love to hang out with me. My 2-year-old's name is Elizabeth Joy, and she's just now getting in on this snuggling on the couch action, because my other two kids will snuggle with me on the couch, and now she wants in, and she will make sure she gets in on that. So I'm a happy camper. I'm sitting on the couch, and I have my three kids just all like this. Now, and I talk to Lily, who's my 6-year-old, and I say, when you're 18, will you still snuggle with me on the couch? Oh, yes, I will snuggle with you on the couch. And I know it's probably not true, but man, I just like hearing it. I like hearing that she actually will. There's something about as we get older in the Lord that sometimes we think that we're too old to snuggle with God on the couch. Sometimes we think that some of those experiences, like maybe some I just mentioned to you, are for when you're little and not when you're old. That you kind of grow out of that. You become mature, so you know you kind of think your way out of it. I want to tell you that no matter how old you are, whether you're one day old or you're 99 years old, that you're still God's kid. You are God's sons and daughters for every day you're alive on this earth. And we have an incredible Father who loves to speak to his kids. And that verse in Jeremiah that I read just a few minutes ago about God having plans for us. If we really believe God is good, if we really believe that he's as good as he says he is, his plans for us are way better than what we could ever dream up for ourselves. You might have exciting plans. Hey, I want to do this. I want to do this. I can't wait to do this. And that's not bad. But I want to tell you something. When the Lord begins to unveil his plans and his destiny for you, it is an incredible adventure, an incredible journey that you will not regret, and that you will experience new things. You'll experience his goodness, and it will take you places. His voice and his leading will take you places that you never thought you could go. When Jesus was in his ministry on earth, and Jesus is God's son, right? And he showed us the heart of the Father. And it's very interesting because when Jesus would go around, he was preaching and demonstrating the kingdom of God. He gave these amazing sermons, Sermon on the Mount, epic, right? And he also did incredible miracles all around. He showed the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of God. He demonstrated the kingdom of God. Tons of healings, transformed lives all over the place. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus went out, that every ministry encounter he had with people seemed to be different? Sometimes he would go and there would be one woman there and he'd give a word of knowledge about her husbands, and all of a sudden the whole town would come to hear him. You notice how we only hear about that once? Not to say that he didn't do it multiple times, but we hear about him doing that once. Another time, he goes in and he's talking to a leper, and he touches a leper and a leper gets healed. Another time there's 10 lepers that come up and all 10 get healed. Another time he goes to what we would call a hospital and there's a bunch of sick people and he only heals one person. One time he had to pray for a guy twice. Because he prayed for a blind guy, opened his eyes, and he said, "What do you see?" He says, "I see people like trees walking around." So Jesus said, "We better pray again." He prays again, the guy gets healed. What's that? I don't know. And then another time Jesus spits in the dirt and makes mud and heals another blind guy. There's all these different instances that are unique, that where Jesus is demonstrating the kingdom of God. And just when you think that you know the pattern, just when you think that you figured out the formula for how Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God, you get this crazy account in Matthew 8. And I want to read this to you. Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. Now think about this. Jesus demonstrating the kingdom of God. The recipient of that demonstration, the person who got healed, was not present. Jesus didn't touch the person. Jesus didn't speak to that person. Jesus didn't rebuke anything. He didn't pray for anything. He didn't give any instructions like pick up your mat or sin no more. He just declared that the healing happened. So when you think you have the exact formula of how Jesus demonstrated the kingdom, you read something like this and you're like, "I don't know, that breaks all of my ideas." But let me tell you, this is very interesting. Jesus tells us his secret. Remember, he is on earth, the Son of God, reflecting the Father's love. I'm going to read three quick verses. John 5:19. Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So Jesus, all the time, is looking to his Father, saying, "Oh, what are you doing?" He's looking. "What are you doing? Oh, you're doing that? So I will do this." And that's when the kingdom of God is demonstrated. It's a looking. He's asking, Father, what are you doing? He didn't respond to need. This is very interesting. He was moved with compassion, but there was also a lot of need that Jesus didn't address. He didn't respond to need. He responded to the actions of the Father. Later in John 8:28, Jesus says again, just a few chapters later, I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. This is weird. Jesus didn't say whatever he wanted to. Jesus only said what he heard the Father saying. So he's walking around, saying, Father, what are you doing? He's looking. Father, what are you saying? He's asking. He's engaged in this incredible relationship to teach us. We are his kids. We are called to demonstrate and preach the kingdom of God wherever we go. And it's not based on a textbook formula or a textbook pattern. It's based on a relationship with the Father, watching and listening and agreeing with what the Father is doing. One more verse, John 12:49. Jesus says again, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Just because you have something to say doesn't mean you should. Just because you say something, it's important to stop and think, okay, how should I say this? How many of us have ever made a mistake about you had something good to say or the right thing to say, but you just said it the wrong way? Yeah, the rest of you are lying to me. All right. I think this is one of the things that we get wrong a lot. You know, that we hear something from the Lord and we're very quick to just blah, to just say it out without pausing to think, okay, Lord, how do you want me to deliver this message? So Jesus is saying, Father, what are you doing? Father, what are you saying? Father, how do you want me to say this? Now, this is how Jesus lived as God's Son, following this adventure to which the Father was leading him in. Father was speaking, Father was acting, and Jesus followed right along, saying and doing the things that his Father was doing. His ministry didn't come from a formula, it came from a relationship. It didn't come from a cleverly devised plan. It came from a conversation. Now, this is really clever. See, God's not stupid. It's important to learn. Part of my testimony isn't to convince you not to go to college. That's not my goal. Not my goal at all. It was a path for me that God called me to, because he called me into a relationship where I would start to learn to respond to his voice, despite many possible objections and problems with that scenario of leaving all your plans, giving up scholarships, changing your life on a dime. There's consequences to those things. But when the Lord calls you, he calls you out, and you have a choice. Am I going to say yes to this adventure that God is calling me on? Or am I going to say no? You can say no. He doesn't make you say yes. So what is the Lord calling you to do? What is he saying to you? How is he leading you out? Maybe some of you said, you know, I don't even know how to hear God. Actually, I kind of doubt whether even God actually speaks. Maybe today that will change. See, what Jesus modeled for us is how to lean into the Father, how to jump on the couch with the Father so we can be close and hear and listen and watch for our benefit, for the benefit of God's plan in the world, for for the advancement of his kingdom. When we start talking about learning to hear God's voice and responding to God's voice, I want to take a little pressure off you. You're going to make mistakes. And it's okay. When my 6-year-old Lily is learning to do something, and we're talking about it, and I'm teaching her, and she tries to ride a bike for the first time, and she falls, what kind of dad am I if I get really ticked off at her that she fell off her bike? No. Say, oh, that was a great try. Let's try again. Now we tend, when we're learning something in our walk with God, we tend to make it more dramatic when we mess up than what it really is. We seem to think that we can mess up kind of in other areas, but if we're messing up trying to hear the Lord or pray for somebody, that all of a sudden it's this egregious sin. Okay, trying something and not getting it right is not a sin. It's learning. It's not rebellion. Sin is rebellion. When you're as a kid and you're trying to do something and you're trying to learn, you're trying to listen and you're stepping out, that's not rebellion. So sometimes that stops us. That thinking stops us from stepping out. Like, okay, I want to learn how to give a prophetic word. Lord, it's the desire of my heart. Well, how do you learn? You get around people who know how to do it. And at some point, you read scripture, you learn. But at some point, you have to step out and you have to try. Okay? But what if I get it wrong? God says that all false prophets should be killed. If I mess it up one time, I'm supposed to be killed. That's not what a false prophet is. False prophet is not somebody who tries honestly to serve the Lord and makes a mistake. False prophet is someone who intentionally, on purpose, leads someone away from Jesus Christ. It's okay to try. God's a good father. He knows. And as we learn to hear his voice, when he whispers, turn to the left, turn to the right, we're not always going to get it right all the time. But when we're in community and walking together and we're totally trusting in him, even if we make a little wrong mistake, guess what? He's bigger than that. And he will get us back on where we need to go. But if we never try, if we never step out to learn, if we never step out to grow, you're going to stay right where you are. You can say no to the voice of God. But the voice of God, following him with all your heart, is an incredible adventure in the kingdom of God. And you don't want to get to that last day and say, I wonder what would have happened if. What if I would have responded to that nudge? What would have happened? Let's be a people who has a much more of a yes to God than a no. Who, when in doubt, let's go for it. Because what I know of Simon, he has a huge heart. Huge heart. He's a pastor. He loves you. His heart is full of love and compassion for you. Is this a safe place to try? Is this a safe place to learn and grow? Be thankful for a man who's leading you, who loves you, and is creating a place for you to learn and grow. Don't take it for granted, because that's not true every place, but it's true here. So what do you think? Should we try? Like right now? Yeah? Good. Because at Heartland, teaching without activation isn't complete. Learning something without trying it, it's not full. When we're being good disciples of Jesus, it's learning it's learning what the Master knows, but it's also doing what the Master does. So I'm going to ask Carolyn to come up, and she has a real gift for leading us in activations. And the one I was thinking of about the prophetic activation, to be able to think and partner up. But if you had something better, by all means. This is Carolyn. She's one of our pastors at Heartland. Let's do it at the end.
How are you? Are you nervous? It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time. Some of you may not have experienced hearing the voice of God, like what Dave was saying with his experience the first time he heard the voice of God. It was real loud or whatever. And some of you don't know what you're looking for. So we're just going to do a really quick exercise. How many in here know the song Jesus Loves Me? I tried this the other night and a lot of people didn't know it. Is there? Okay. I think that's enough. Let's, we can do Jesus Loves Me. I ended up having to do Happy Birthday the other night because it's like this. We're all going to sing Happy Birthday to, no. Yeah, let's just do Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday to Simon. But we're not going to use our voices. Okay? We're going to sing it in our head. So I'm going to be a choir director for just a second. And we're going to sing Happy Birthday together. To Simon, we're going to be singing it. He's going to hear it. You can hear it. Put your name in and you can hear it. So here we go. And we're going to start on this note. Here we go. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? So when we say we're listening for the voice of God, it can be that simple. Okay? So what we want to do now is we're just going to pair up with one-on-one, just two people in a group. If you can get with someone that you didn't come with or you don't know very well, that would be awesome. Because sometimes we kind of question, well, you already knew that about me and it's kind of hard. Or I knew that about you and I didn't want to just make this up and say that was God saying that. So I'm going to ask you really quickly, move and find someone you don't know. Two people in a group and then I'll give you further instruction. Okay, if you don't have somebody, raise your hand. And I'll stand up. If you don't have somebody partnered up with you, raise your hand so someone can come and sit with you. There's somebody here that needs somebody. Somebody needs this Jeff up here. Okay. You need somebody? Okay, we need another person. Is there someone else that doesn't have someone to partner up with? And this isn't going to be embarrassing. I'm not going to ask anybody questions or whatever. It's just going to be between you two, okay? So here's what... Does somebody want to come for this young gal right here? You can do a threesome? Okay. We're going to be real quiet for just a few seconds. And we're going to ask the Lord to give us one word... Just one word to bless the person that is right in front of you. And let's ask God that this word be something that would be very specific to that person that you wouldn't know about that's going to encourage their heart today for something they're going through. One word. So there shouldn't be a whole lot of conversation. And then we'll do a part two. Okay? So... Let's pray this prayer, Father. I ask by the presence of your Spirit now that you would grace us with a word of encouragement for the person that is right in front of me. And then you would grace me with the ability to hear. Okay, you can start in your groups and that just share that one word. You don't have to have explanations or anything like that. Just share that one word. Okay, has everybody shared that one word? How many of you that just that one word really spoke to your heart? It hit someplace in your heart. How many of you? It made a difference for you. That's cool. Okay, let's be still before the Lord again. We're going to ask Him for a little bit more this time. I want you to ask the Lord for the person that's sitting right in front of you or standing in front of you. Lord Jesus, what part of your nature and your character do you want to be for this person right now today? In other words, this person's going through something that they need part of the nature and character of Jesus to come and fill them. So ask this question of the Lord. What part of your nature, Lord Jesus, what part of your character would you like to be for this person that's right in front of me? Another way to ask that, what fruit of the Spirit would you like to be for this person? So let's just be still before the Lord and you listen for that person in front of you. Okay, we all hear in just a little bit different ways. Some of us might be seeing pictures. Some of us might have words going through our holy imagination, like a ticker tape going across in front of our spiritual eyes. We might have thoughts. We might have a sensation of a feeling arise that we didn't have before we prayed and asked the Lord. So those are all legitimate expressions, plus more, of how the God might speak to us for this person. So let's begin now to share the impression that you had and say, here's what I think God showed me to say to you. Okay? Go for it. Okay, has everyone had a chance to share? Were we done? Yeah. How many of you had a word given to you that was just spot on and it really encouraged your heart? You know who Jesus wants to be for you right now for what you're going through. I want to encourage you that this isn't just an activation and something we do when we're gathered together in a congregational church setting. This can happen to you and through you 24/7. Especially the one word blessing. We're busy. We move from place to place to place during our week all the time. And this can happen at your store, at your workplace. Oh, hiya, I bless you with the goodness of God today. And you're on your way. You're standing at the copier in the office. I bless you with God's favor. He loves you so much. You're standing at the checkout line getting your groceries. I bless you with peace. I bless you with good health. And so you're always on the lookout. Lord Jesus, how do you want to use me? How can you activate the presence of the Holy Spirit that I will listen to what Dave was saying? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And this isn't just something that we get this good feeling and get blessed, which we do when we do this kind of an activation when we're gathered as the saints of God. This is to be used in a practical way in our everyday life. And God honors us. And that's how we spread the love of the Father to the whole world. And who knows, somebody might stop and say, why'd you do that? Or, I'd like to be able to do that. How could I do that? And then you have an opportunity. So, be blessed and stay activated and be on the lookout. Be intentional about giving words. You know, prophecy, it sounds woo-woo-woo. It's really a simple thing. Hearing, seeing, sensing the heart of the Father for the person that's right in front of me and expressing it in a way they can receive it. Okay? Be blessed. Okay? You want me to do that? This morning I was impressed with the word.